Before I start, I just want to say thank you for coming this morning. Especially thank all of the choir and the greeters and the ushers and the coffee hour hosts, and thank all of you. Show-stubblers. Absolutely. This past weekend, my two stepdaughters were in town last weekend. They now live in Florida, but they grew up here in Massachusetts. And we all have fond memories of years gone by when they were little, when we would sleigh ride and ice skate and take the dog for long walks through Wayland's snow-filled woods. But something happens to people when they move to Florida. It's true. First, they lose their happy winter memories. And when they return to visit, they whine about the cold, about New England winters, and without even asking, they surreptitiously turn up the thermostat. While I have no patience for this grumbling, I say nothing, having been caught more than once when visiting them in one of their homes, resetting the air conditioning to a temperature 5 or 6 degrees cooler down to a comfortable 68. But still, even taking into account people's differences, I feel something essential about life gets missed if one doesn't experience and even appreciate the cold, silent beauty of winter. Part of the beauty and the magic of this month is the darkness and the interplay between darkness and light, and the knowledge that long before our December celebrations of Hanukkah and Christmas and Kwanzaa, thousands of years ago, people fashioned solstice rituals. And maybe they did it out of fear or hope or desperation or celebration, but we know that they had a sacred quality to them, and we understand. We understand how in the deepest, darkest depths of winter, as people gathered around fires, they rekindled in each other the abiding faith that the seasons would turn. There is, on the east coast of Ireland, I have read, a prehistoric monument called Newgrange. It's a place that gives us a glimpse of the meaning solstice must once have had for ancient people. It's a mound-like structure described as a passage tomb, and it was built 1,000 years before Stonehenge in 3200 BCE. Because human remains and ashes have been found there, it's thought to have been a burial ground, and because beads and other artifacts have also been found there, it's also been thought to have been a place of ritual and maybe even celebration. Inside, the passage stretches for 60 feet, about a third of the way through, into the center of the structure. The walls of the passage are made of large stone slabs and some decorated with carvings. It's an amazing structure that captures the sun on the shortest day. During solstice, the first light enters the tomb 4 minutes after sunrise, but 5,000 years ago, the first light would have entered at exactly sunrise. Here's a first-hand description of the experience. I was standing in the darkness, writes George Cunningham, with others in the cross-shaped chamber in the middle of the burial mound of Newgrange while hundreds gathered outside. We stood in silence. It should be a clear day. But just how good, no one could have imagined. Murmurs from outside gradually increased, giving an even more heightened sense of expectation. And then a pencil of sunlight appeared on the chamber floor, a ray of the rising sun appearing above the hill opposite had traveled through the roof box along the passage to appear on the floor, just as it had done at this moment in time over 5,000 years ago. Gradually, the ray broadened to about a foot in width and then started to flood the passageway as the sun's golden rising filled the roof box above the entrance. And for some 17 minutes, we were dazzled and humbled by Stone Age man's ingenuity as we reflected on what we were experiencing. What was their Ireland like? who stood here 5,000 years ago? Well, we'll never know who stood in that spot 5,000 years ago, but surely they had to be at least as awed as we are by the power of the sun, the symmetry of the rings of the moon, and the magnificence of star-filled nights. Newgrange is a testament to how compelling light and darkness are to us and have always been to human beings throughout history. It's so easy to be overwhelmed by Christmas, by the holidays, by the commercialism of the season, and the myriad of daytime demands. So let us pay attention to the darkness December brings, short days and long nights, which offer peace and quiet and time for contemplation. We have 6 days until winter solstice, and we too will be grateful for days that grow longer. But in the meantime, let us not wish the dark away. It is an invitation to silence and beauty and solitude. There is a wonderful children's book, a picture book, called The Dark by Lemony Snicket. It's the story of Laszlo, a little boy who is afraid of the dark. The author writes, "The dark lived in the same house as Laszlo, a big house with a creaky roof, smooth, cold windows, and several sets of stairs. Mostly the dark spent its time in the basement. At night, of course, the dark went out and spread itself against the windows and the doors of Laszlo's house. But in the morning, the dark would be back in the basement where it belonged, and Laszlo would open the basement door and peek at it every day. Well, as you can imagine, by the end of the story, Laszlo has made peace with the dark, and he's not afraid anymore. Light is so often the symbol used for everything that is good and hopeful and bright, but we miss something, I think, if we don't consciously appreciate the dark as well. It is, writes Richard Gilbert, the dark places that make for growth. We begin in darkness, and it is to darkness we ultimately will return. We celebrate darkness not because it's followed by light, but for its own sake, for the rich mystery with which it confronts us. Darkness slows us down. We pause in the dark and wonder who we are and whither we go. Daylight can have too many distractions for such contemplation, and it is the night veiled in mystery that encourages our deepest probes into tranquility. One of the joys of Christmas Eve for me always has been that we gather for worship in the dark. We are here in this beautiful sanctuary, and it's candlelit and filled with people and music and light, and outside there is darkness, and there are stars, and there is always something a little magical to the loveliness of that night. Now, in these frantic December days, when there's too much to do and the pressure builds, we are grateful for nighttime. Think of it as wrapping yourself in a kind of velvet darkness and slowing down, trusting that minute by measurable minute, inch by measurable inch, deed by measurable deed, the world moves, and we move with it. So may it be.